Well, we appreciate them and all of you, and appreciate our teacher tonight. This is one of, to me, one of the most outstanding things that happens in the new year, and I look forward to it because she never repeats. She always is teaching on something fresh. Amen. And I appreciate her burden for prayer. She is a prayer warrior. I've been around her for over 42 years. That's hard to believe. Got an anniversary coming up. It's going to turn into a 3 there, 43. But when I asked her, when I started dating her, I wanted to know what her pastor thought about her. That's one of the best questions if you want to date somebody, to ask the pastor about it, them, because they will probably know them in a unique way better than most people because of their interactions, prayer, worship, counseling, casting out devil. No, I'm sorry. So I want to know what her pastor felt. He could not have spoken more highly about her. And then I want to know what her roommate thought. And she said, well, I can tell you this. She has a prayer life. And that's when she was singular, footloose, and fiance free. A rolling stone that gathers no moss. Moss. Teasing. But prayer is a big part of her life. We have a room, and it's almost like a sacred thing when I walk into the prayer room. And actually, sometimes I do some of my counseling there. It's a great place to do counseling from, the prayer room. And she's made it a very special place in our house, and it's an honor to have her talking into our hearts. Let's welcome Sister Meadows, shall we? Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor. I don't know where I got this tickle in my throat. Well, I have been, because we're on a shorter schedule today, I've been practicing talking fast forward all day. So I hope you can keep up. No, I'm just teasing. And I appreciate our pastor. I don't say near enough about him, as he brags on me constantly. But I think I appreciate something about him. I don't know if I've ever said this before, but he always talks about my discernment. I appreciate his discernment. And this is how pastor's discernment works. If you pay attention, he doesn't say, well, this is what I'm feeling, which is what I say all the time. You know, us girls, we feel. But he'll just be talking along. And if you're really listening, there's a word behind the word. And he'll be revealing some things he's picking up or discerning just in casual conversation. And I try to catch those things, and I go, ooh, yes, yes. So I appreciate that about our pastor. So I just want to give you a winter joke or two and then get into my lesson. Now, I have a kind of warped sense of humor. It's kind of sick. You'll know by these jokes, but for all the blondes that are here, I apologize in advance. Did you know it takes twice as long to build a blonde snowman? Because you have to hollow out the head first. Isn't that sick? I think it's hilarious. And then there was the man that had trouble with his mother-in-law, and so... For most of us are here mother-in-laws, but he said, I don't know what's wrong with her, but every time it starts snowing, she just stares through the window all the time. And they said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, if she doesn't stop it, I'm going to let her in. Those are the kind of jokes I like. Cruel, cruel. Okay, let's get down. We are now going to move into the Word of God. I'm going to talk to you tonight on something I read about probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I thought, oh God, I want to teach that. And every year he said, no, no, no. So this year he said, yes, it would be good. This is a good time to teach on that. So... this is my title, and I'm going to explain my title a little bit later, not at first, but my title is Hearing from God at Mahanaim. You say, what? Are you speaking in tongues? And that word, I'm going to explain a little bit about that word in a few minutes. But I couldn't even pronounce it when I first started reading about it, but I got so excited about it. So have you ever thought, what is the most important word in the Bible? I mean, I've heard sermons on the blood. The blood runs from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can follow, you can track the subject of the blood all the way through the Bible. I've heard sermons on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's one of the most important words in the whole Bible. I've heard the word obedience. If you take the Bible from beginning to end, you're going to see the theme of obedience all the way through. I've heard the word servanthood, love. The whole Bible is about love, how we need to love from 1,000 different ways. But I have come to believe that one of the most, if not the most important word in the Bible is the word here. I believe God craves for us to listen for him and to hear him. And you can track this word in the Bible. That word hear or hearing is over 2,200 times. And faith, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing is connected to our faith. Servanthood, what did Samuel say? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If you're a servant, you're listening, you're hearing. Love, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord. If you're going to love him, you got to hear. He put hear at the beginning. Obedience, he that heareth and doeth is a wise man. To me, over and over, hearing from the Lord comes before a lot of other themes, a lot of other words. So I have two scriptures. My first one is in Hebrews 5:11, and both scriptures are going to come from the Amplified Classic. But Hebrews 5:11 and 12. Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. That word slothful means lazy. You've gotten kind of lazy in your listening. And then verse 12, for even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. And why is it? Because you've gotten lazy in your spiritual hearing. There's something connected to every part of our spiritual walk. It's related to our ability to continuously hear God's voice, hear his word, hear his direction in our life. And then the second scripture is in Proverbs 8:34. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. What are you doing? You're waiting, you're watching, and you're listening. God puts a high priority on our ability and our desire to listen to him and to listen for his voice, to listen for his direction. That's why I think here is such a big, big word in the Bible. So tonight our lesson has got two parts, and it's actually going to be, I'm going to talk about both parts all month long. But the priority of hearing God, and then some of the amazing things I found out about that word and that city called Mahanaim. I think we strongly underestimate the power and the priority of hearing from God. One of the biggest weaknesses sometimes is oversimplifying our decisions and thinking, I don't need to hear about God. I don't need to hear from God about this. This is not a big deal. And we oversimplify some of the things we need to hear from God. Have you ever had any of those, what I call, no big deal decisions? Oh, it's not a big deal. And then you made the decision, and then you paid for it for a long, long time. And you wish you'd have done anything to get counsel, direction, insight, a word, heard, anything, because that no big deal turned out to be a disaster. Anybody ever have those? I remember one time Ember went, she was looking, you know how they flip houses? She was looking for a little car to flip. So she went and bought a little navy Volkswagen Bug. I don't know if you ever saw it. You might not have seen it because it never made it to church too often. It wasn't a big deal, she thought. It was just a little bug. She paid dear for that for a long, long time. So there is value in slowing down and getting some insight, opening our ears, before we make some of our decisions. I think sometimes God wants us to get our pajamas off of our ears. I heard that from Mike Meadows, if you know him. But sometimes some of our biggest messes come from having to live with the fruit of decisions we made without hearing from God. Anybody want to say amen, or oh me, or help me, Lord. Now is the time to speak up. And you want to know what is one of the biggest enemies to hearing from God? Good common sense. We just trust in our good common sense. I can figure this out. I know. I laid in bed last night and I thought about it a long time. And I came to this. I've made up my mind. Ever hear anybody say that? I've made up my mind. I usually picture a car wreck right after that. Because what God wants us to do is to lean into Him and wait and be dependent. And sometimes He withholds the answer because He enjoys the process, even though we can't stand it. We hate the process of waiting on God to speak. Anybody saying, oh, I'm waiting for God. I'm having the time of my life. Hallelujah. It's a joy. I just know He's going to speak next year. I didn't hear anything this year. He loves that process, and we hate it. We want to sweep it out of the room as quickly as possible. Well, I'm done with that. Hallelujah. I've got a little navy bug, and I wish I'd have waited a little longer. Hallelujah. Good common sense can bring the biggest blindness to the will of God because we think our reasoning ability is pretty good instead of our hearing ability. I remember, this is funny, I remember years ago hearing Sister Tenney talk on the subject. I don't know what the title was, but the subject matter was, how involved in your decisions do you think God wants to be? And she quoted this question. She said, when you're coming up to a light, a street light, and it's turning yellow and about to turn red, do you think He wants to be involved in your decision of whether to go through it or to stop? And at that time, I don't want to tell you how many years ago that was, but I remember sitting and thinking, wow. Would God really want to be in on that decision? Today, it's a no-brainer. We've got a hamburger in one hand. We've got a cell phone in the other. The pinky's on the steering wheel. The music's blaring. We're talking. We don't even know God's name when we're driving. We're not waiting to hear from Him at all. There's too many other things on our minds. But at that time, I thought, how involved does He want to be? Well, this is as I began to study this subject of hearing God, I began to understand something, that some of the things that we think are really big and God really wants to speak, he's not as concerned about. And some of the little stuff that we think God doesn't care, he's very concerned about. And you say, well, how in the world am I supposed to know? He wants you to listen, and he'll tell you. He'll speak and say, you can have it. I remember hearing Brother Pugh say that he was praying about taking a church, and he asked God, he said, I've got an invitation to Odessa, Texas, and I forget the other place, Atlanta. And he said, where do you want me to go? The cool part of the story is he waited to hear. He didn't just, did you ever do a pros and cons? These are the pros if I do this. These are the cons. I used to do that all the time. I thought, that just makes good sense. That's good common sense. I don't do that anymore. The pros and cons have nothing to do with the will of God. But so he was asking God, do you want me to go to Atlanta or do you want me to go to Odessa? And he waited to hear. That's the central part of the story. Because sometimes I hear people say, well, wherever I go, God's going to bless me. If I stay here, he'll bless me. If I go there, he'll bless me. That's not always true. He waited and heard. And God said, if you go to Atlanta, I'll bless you there. If you go to Odessa, I'll bless you there. That's a lot different than just thinking that and not hearing from God. You can make the choice yourself if God gives you the option, but you need to wait to hear. Most of the time, he doesn't say, just do what you want to do. I think we'd all be prayer warriors if God said that all the time. Yes, I'm going to the prayer room. He's going to give me my way again. I can't wait. Doesn't usually go that way. Lord. So, I want to talk about this word, Mahanim. Now, when I first saw that word, I thought, wow, I don't know what that means. And you might be tempted to say, look, Sister Meadows, my life's already crazy enough. My plate's full. Please don't give me any weighty, weird words. My brain's already overloaded. I don't want to walk out of here trying to pronounce some strange biblical word. And, of course, I like simple titles like Hello Fresh, DoorDash. You can tell we're getting ready to do some fasting. Soup and Sandwich. I like simple titles like that. I don't like Mahanim. Of course, if I'm going to have food delivered, I want it cooked with a maid to clean up. I don't want a box with onions in it for me to peel. No thanks. Peel the onion. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not paying for that. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the web address where they have the sounds, and I'm going to type in Mahanim and see how you pronounce it. And I'm going to say it right because this is a cool word. So I go to this one place and type it in, and it goes, Mahanim, Mahanim, Mahanim. And I go, oh, I think I could learn that. But I think I'll go to another place. Maybe they sit, they come on and they go, Mahanaim, Mahanaim, Mahanaim. I thought, well, that's different. So I'll try one more place. Mahanaim, Mahanaim, Mahanaim. And I figured out what it was. It's the different parts of the country. If you go up to the north, they're going to say, you all come over. But if you go to the south, they're going to say, y'all, come over. They say it different in different parts of the country. So I'm going to say it Mahanim, because that's the first way I heard it and the first way I liked it. What is Mahanim? Number one, it's a city in Israel. I don't know if it's still on the map. I just know it used to be. And it's also a name in Hebrew. And I'll give you three definitions. They're similar. One of the definitions of Mahanim is the burden of choice. You've got to make a decision, and sometimes it's a burden. It's a weight. I'm not sure what to do. That's what that city represented. The next definition is two opposing armies. Ooh, it's not just a decision. Sometimes it's a war going on. And how do you solve the war? How do you bring peace? And then the last definition is the dance of two camps. The different dance in two different camps. And I'm going to open our lesson next week with a little bit about what those two camps are, the dance of two camps. But basically, Mahanaim refers to the weightiness of decision making and what you got to go through sometimes to get an answer. And that's why I started with the word here, because the biggest way, the quickest way to get answers is to hear from God. But that seems like the hardest way, the slowest way, the most frustrating way to wait on God. But I promise you, the weight of your decision is nothing compared to the weight of a bad decision. And so they have a dating course called Worth the Wait. But I'm here to tell you, it's worth the wait to hear from God. Don't do a lot of stuff without hearing from God, and you're going to find your life is going to be different. Okay, how many of you learned the poem in school called The Road Less Traveled? Remember that? Scott, if you could put that up. There's four stanzas. I left one out, not because I wanted to diminish the poem, but the old English language was so hard to understand, I just thought I might lose you. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. It's about choice. But there's no mention in this poem about God, seeking God. It's just one, a fork in the road, one path goes this way, one, and which should I take? One of the keys to the poem is, I took the one less, not the one everybody else was going on, but that choice has made all the difference. And I'm here to tell you, if you will learn to hear from God in more and more of your decisions, you're going to say, that's made the difference in my life and the way my life is flowing and going in a good way. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Mahanaim. Do you remember when Jacob stole the birthright from Esau? And Esau, being the kind and friendly brother that he was, he said, as soon as Papa's gone, I'm going to kill you. Just so we understand each other. I've got murder on my mind. So Jacob took off, and they hadn't seen each other for close to 20 years. And Jacob is coming back to meet Esau. Guess where he met him? At a place called Mahanaim. Two camps. And they said when Jacob came, he brought his family, which was very big, and he put them in two camps. What was the purpose? The purpose was if Esau killed and attacked one, the other camp could get away. He was preparing for the worst. But of course, we know angels met him there. He had a supernatural encounter, and the whole thing went good. But I just think it is so interesting that that place was Mahanaim, the place of conflict where two opposing views meet. And then when David was fleeing from Jerusalem because his beloved son Absalom had cooked up an insurrection and was literally trying to take the throne, David goes running out of the city. He has a large following, and he goes to the city of Mahanaim. And a man named Barzillai met him there. And they said it was a very big choice for the people in Israel, because if they went with Absalom and he didn't get the throne, they were going to be executed. But if they went with David and Absalom got the throne, they were going to be. So there's this big decision, which side the nation had to decide between two conflicting camps, the dance of the two camps. Which side should I be in? And if you ever want to know how to treat a man of God, I'm not talking about a pastor, but any man of God, study Barzillai and what he did for David at this time when David was running scared for his life. Barzillai pampered him and spoiled him so much that when David got the throne back and went back, he said, Barzillai, I want you to come with me. And he said, I'm too old. I can't even make the trip. But David blessed Barzillai and his family for the goodness he did to him. So that's another place where Mahanaim came into play. Then there's actually a scripture in Song of Solomon 6:13 where it talks about a company of two armies. And if you go to the concordance, it just says Mahanaim in the original language. Just said Mahanaim, two different camps. So what have I laid out for you so far? We've got to fine-tune and get better at hearing from God in our decisions. And don't just go off like we're riding wild steeds. I have a little book. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I love the book. I used to buy it and pass it out to people, and it showed a man with a homemade airplane wings on his arms. And the title of the book was The Problem with Doing Your Own Thing. I'm going to fly all on my own. It is such a good book. But our decisions are so important to God, much more important than we realize. So I want to talk just a little bit. Let me check my time. Okay, I only go about 10 more minutes. I want to look at Hezekiah's life, because Hezekiah is a picture of a great man of God, a great king in Israel. He loved God. He brought revival to Israel. He was one of the greats. But he made three or four major decisions on his own, and they marred his testimony. They marred the work that God did in his life. And when he died, he did not die in the glory that he should have had, because he messed up his life through a few wrong decisions. And one of them, when I read it, I thought, that doesn't seem that big of a deal, but it was very big to God. And here's Hezekiah doing all these great things for God, but we do change along the way. Anybody notice that? You don't think the same now as you did 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We change along the way. And Hezekiah changed, and I don't think he realized it. And God was working on some things, and he kept bringing some things to help Hezekiah to change some arena, some camps in his life. And he didn't get the message, and he started making some really bad mistakes. He put a bad mark on his name and testimony. His sons rose up right after he died and destroyed everything he did to build revival. Immediately, they started tearing down the altars that his father has built as soon as he died. That is not what you want to happen. And he grieved God majorly. Has anybody ever seen this book? It's called, I think I've showed it before, it's called God's Generals. They have this in DVD form, and it's a book. And this author, Robert Slardin, I love this book because he takes probably some of the greatest revivalists we've had in the last 100 years. And he does a biography on their life. And he tells you all their strengths and all the great things they did for God. But then he also shows you where they missed it or made a major mistake or two and hurt their ministry. And it's all done in honor. This is not a negative reading book. And he says, I got so fascinated with these great men of God, these great women of God, but I couldn't figure out why so many of them made these major mistakes. So the whole purpose is so that you can learn to obey the Spirit's leading in every area of your life. Because they went along so long and did so good, and then they kind of forgot some of the things that they taught. So, have you ever heard pastors say, get counsel from your pastor? Yeah. I've heard people say, nobody's controlling me. I'm an adult now, man. I get to make my own decisions. But a pastor is trained in how to get you to heaven. And he's going to show you where the potholes are, the sinkholes are, and there's a few things. So you can hear the voice of God on your own, and we're going to talk more about how you hear God's voice. But your shepherd is a great voice to help you hear God quickly. This is what somebody said about Hezekiah. Listen to this carefully. I wish I had put this up on the screen. As can be seen in Hezekiah's story, the main symptom of spiritual pride is sincere decision making without consulting God. I'm going to read that again. As seen in Hezekiah's story, the main symptom of spiritual pride is sincere decision making without consulting God. Now, the whole thing that stands out to me in that is the word sincere. Most of us are like Hezekiah. We sincerely love God and we make sincere decisions, but sometimes we don't consult God. And so the problem is that you weren't sincere. I was sincere in my heart. I wanted to please God, but I also wanted to get it done. Get it off my to-do list. So the word sincere decision making without hearing from God spoke to me. God, you know, we sing that song about God reaching for the lost sheep, the last one, 99, but he's always reaching for the last one. But he's also wanting us to reach out to him and listen to him. It's almost like he gets great delight out of us pursuing him. We talk about him pursuing us, but he wants us to pursue him. Ooh, God, I got to hear from you, God. I've got to get a word from you, God. I'm not going to run off and do my own thing. And he was trying to develop in Hezekiah this dependence. I'll tell you the first thing he did. I'm only going to tell you one tonight, and I'll pick up the rest of them next week. But you remember the time the Assyrians were coming to attack Israel? The Assyrians were like terrorist group today. Brutal, vicious, merciless, ruthless. They were out to destroy. And they were coming. And Hezekiah was petrified. He was shaking in his boots. And so he did the right thing. He went to God in prayer. And he said, God, what should we do? He's blasphemed your name, the Assyrian king, and it's just a big mockery. He did the right thing. And so do you remember the outcome? What happened? God sent angels. They destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. I'd call that a wee answer. Just a spot of a response. Well, don't tell me what he did wrong in his prayer. I liked his answer. I did too. If Hezekiah were living today in 2020, he would be speaking at General Conference. Brother Stark would have him in for awakenings. We'd stand in a long line waiting for him to pray for us. Oh, Hezekiah, could you pray for me? You're just God's man of power. So he prayed, and God, but what God was really doing, he did answer Hezekiah's prayer, but he was really defending his name, because the king of Assyria had mocked God's name, and he was coming to the defense of his great I am, who he was. But do you know what else he did besides go to the prayer room? Something we would never do. He got on the phone and he called the king of Egypt and said, could you send me a few horses? Just a few. I've prayed, but I need a few horses. And by the way, could you add a few warriors? Fighting men, strong men. Just send a few of those. And then he asked for counsel of the king of Egypt and said, what do you think I should do in this battle? And then he said, could we do a little trading? I'll give you this and this if you'll give me that and that, because I need it because the Assyrians are coming. And so he prayed, and then he mixed his counsel with the world and actually asked for reinforcements from the world. How many of you know that Egypt is always a type of the world? And when you're needing to hear an answer, you don't need to go to both. Does anybody know what a chameleon is? He fits right in both worlds. If I'm out in the world, you'd never know me from Boo. If I'm in the church, I fit right in there too. And that's what Hezekiah was doing. He was getting help from both sides. He's like, this is such a scary thing. I got to be sure my back end is covered. So I've got God and the Egyptians. Do you know what that says to God? Anybody got a clue? He's more than enough. More than enough. Well, kind of, I do need a few Egyptians. But God, you are so great. Do you mind if I ask some Egyptians to come with you? And so we get our strength from other places while we're waiting. And this was something that, this is the neat thing about God. Many times we can be off. We don't have to be perfect. But in his great mercy, he'll give us the victory. He'll give us the answer to our prayers. He'll give us the thing we want, even though he knows when this is over, we're going to have a little talk in the woodshed, me and Hezekiah, because he made a big boo-boo in this plan, but I'm going to honor him before the people, that my name may be glorified. So every victory doesn't mean you've learned it all just right. So Hezekiah did get a massive victory, and he celebrated, and you know what? It didn't help the problem that God was working on in his life of being a little bit independent. And so the next test that came is what we're going to pick up with next week. That's when he's getting ready to die. You think God was increasing the tuition on the lesson? First, you were just being scared by the terrorists. Now he says, your time is up, Buster. Your time is up, buddy. God was increasing the tuition on his tests. He was trying to teach him to depend just on him. Go to him, hear him, wait on him. And so, in closing tonight, I have told this story before, but when Pastor and I first got married, I worked for a boss that was horrible, mean, and I had a short fuse. I have a short fuse now, but I mean it was many, 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 many short. We first got married. I didn't take much without running to the restroom and going, I remember one time when I was in junior high, me and a girl got in a scrap in the locker room, and I was pulling her hair out, man. I wasn't taking nothing. That was before I learned to hear from God. Yes, before Christ, before I ever got the Holy Ghost, I was just going to settle things right there in the locker room. I still hear from her. She's still got a bald spot. No. But I worked for this horrible boss. And we're newly married, and I would come home and go, what? And I was his bride. And you know how pastor is to defend me. He had on his boxing gloves, and he was ready to go in, and he was going to make pancakes out of that guy. And I was going to be the syrup. But so I decided I'm going to fix this problem. I'm getting another job. I don't have to put up with this. I am Cindy Meadows. Humble Cindy Meadows. So, man, I was writing letters, sending resumes, making calls, checking the want ads. And I think I was there 8 months. I was praying, but I wasn't praying about this job. I'd already reasoned it out, and my pros and cons were good enough for me. And all of a sudden, after 8 months, God spoke to me in the prayer room, just as clear as you please, and he said, I have you here for a purpose. Because you got to remember, before I took that job, I worked for Brother Tenney at headquarters. And you go in every day and you start your day with devotions and a devotional song and you worship. And you work for all these men of God and women of God. And then there was Larry Sousa right after that. And so God said, I have you here for a purpose. You know how to be kind and sweet when you're treated right. But you don't know anything about being kind and sweet when you're treated like dirt. So he had put me there on purpose. There was a reason I was there. Most of the time we spend our life running off to another place, not knowing, stay there. The lesson is worth it in the long run. And so he said, if you can understand that and get the lesson, I said, I got it, God. You're right. I am guilty as charged. Wrong so bad. Do you know, after he spoke to me in the prayer room, I think I was out of that place in less than a month. I didn't have to do a thing. It just all, we had some bills to pay. We worked to pay them off. We took off to evangelize. But I look back on that and I'm thinking, how many times I tried to get out of that place, go somewhere else better, be treated right. None of that was in God's purpose or plan, and it wasn't until I heard him speak that I knew exactly what was going on. And so often the things that affect our decisions and our frustrations are there. He's got something he's putting in us. He's training, he's teaching, he's working on. And we just need to slow down and say, I've read in a book, somebody said this, and I don't know if I can pray this, but they pray this all the time. God, as long as it takes. I'm here for you to do whatever you want to do with me as long as it takes. You know what? I think somebody like that praying like that's going to hear a lot sooner than people like me. So let's stand together. Let's see how we're doing on our time. We got about 5 minutes. So I'm not going to open the altar, but we are going to pray for a few minutes. And Lord, I'd just like to ask you to talk to each of us. We all hear in 1,000 different ways, and you speak in so many different ways. But we want to enter into a new season of sharpening our hearing, opening our ears, understanding that you're always working. You've got us where we are for a purpose. And the decisions that come, the battles, the things that war inside of us, if we will just seek you and wait on you and ask to hear your voice and your direction and know that in our heart we're saying, whatever, God, as long as it takes. I want the pajamas to come off my ears. I want my ears to be tuned in. Ooh, God, help us to become a listening people. people, a hearing church, a church that says your voice, your direction, your guidance is priority. It's preeminent. It is what we live for. And I believe as we do that in our prayer life and in our daily life, reach out and seek you and long to hear you, you're gonna direct us, you're gonna guide us, and you're gonna speak to us so many more times and in so many more ways, and we're gonna have greater peace and a greater maturity. We're not gonna be lazy in our listening, racing and rushing. Thank you tonight, God, for your word and your ways. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.